thinking back to the 70s and 80s, when did you first realise that the citizenship status of Caribbean wasn't as straightforward as people might have thought?
That's what I was thinking. When you asked me, I was thinking, you know what? I used to buy anything now, because I'm in London. Mm. You got lots of black papers, you got The Voice, you got The Gleaner, yeah? We used to get it in Northampton as well, but most shops sell it. And in The Voice, right, they had a thing about this new nationality bill. And they said, oh, they're having a meeting along the Harrow Road in Paddington. Now, this was 1980. And they're inviting us as community to come, and they're going to explain why they're dealing with this amendment to the nationality bill. And Mrs. Thatcher was in power. Yeah? And Mrs. Thatcher sent her social minister, his name was John Wheeler. And when John Wheeler came, I made sure I got there really early, so I had an ideal position. It doesn't matter which, anybody asking, anything happening, I didn't have to turn my neck. I could see everything, and I'm at the front.
And can you describe the room for me that you were in?
Well, it was just a hall, really. It was just a hall, you know, and then how the chairs were placed, you know. You know, like if you're having a church service, so you've got all the chairs in, like, and then they've got some this side. So that's the main hall then, mm-hmm. Yeah? So that's the door you come in, and this is the main hall. So all the, and then he's here, but then they put chairs here. So that's where I sat. So if I was sitting there, if somebody come in, I'd have turned around. Sitting at the side there, like at the front.
But he was on a raised platform?
No, he was standing, yeah? I could have touched him. Yeah, when I mean, that's the distance. He, you know, he wasn't on no platform.
Was he the only person there?
No, the chair of the meeting was Paul Boateng. He was the chairman, yes. So it was orderly. And then Mr. Wheeler, he stood up and he gave an introduction of why and one of his reasons. He said, you know, one of the reasons was that too many people come here illegally, they do not contribute to the system, and he said they leave a lot behind, a lot of illegitimate children for this government to finance. So I thought, oh. Then he went on to say, unless your parents were citizens when you were born, you are not a citizen. And I thought, he said you're an alien if you do not pay £50 if you were born here to be a citizen. And I thought, well, I never. So, because I think I maybe asked him, well, what if you don't pay the £50? He said, you're an alien. And I thought to myself, well, I came very early as a citizen, and within 15 minutes I've become an alien. So all my questions that I wanted to ask, ooh, what was the point? I was thinking, you know what, I'm going back to Jamaica. I'm going to go and live with my granddad, even though you don't get much money in Jamaica. So when they had a little break, they call a recess, I didn't come and sit at the front. I'm a blooming alien now. So I just sat at the back so I can make a quick exit. And near the end, you know, there was a lot of good questioning, and, you know, you go through the chair.
How did the audience respond when they heard this?
Well, you know, that was just his introduction. Now, we're going back from 1980, so I can't say, but there was lots of different interactions, but he came with his template. Yeah. So from him told me I was not a citizen and I was born here, that was it. I realised then that when they put a full stop on their immigration paperwork, when they want to change it, they just turn it into a comma. Because how can I be a citizen? And from he started to talk, in about 15 minutes, I became an alien. So I knew that even though I was born here, yeah? So what happened, I was very conscious black conscious, right? So when this Australian lady stood up and she questioned him, you know, how come she comes and go when she wants from Australia, and she stays as long as she wants. She doesn't need no permit, she don't need no visa. And she said, but Mr. Wheeler, the people that you invited here to build the country, a lot of them are getting elderly now. She said, you were even tripping up on some of your long words. How do you expect them to deal with this paperwork and also pay on top of it? And, you know, I can just come and go as free as I like. And he told her that as a great, great, great grandchild of patron, she can come and go as freely as she liked. Well, I decide I'm going to ask a question. I put my hand up, Mr. Boateng. I said, yeah, Miss White. And he said, go ahead. And I said, Mr. Wheeler, are you, I gather, a patron in your great, great? I said, do you remember when England conquered a lot of the world and they went to India and they went to Africa and they went to the Caribbean and they took advantage of black women like myself and left behind a lot of illegitimate children for them government to, what you call them, those countries, third world you call them now, to finance. And those illegitimate children, right, got the same right as what you just given this Australian lady. He didn't answer me. He looked at his watch. And then what time was? Nearly 8 o'clock. He said, oh, it's late for a meeting at the House of Commons. And he was running out. He went like this with his finger, you know, when you beckon. So he had a little young boy and a little boy run across with his briefcase. And he was just going out the door. Well, I'm somebody of principle, but I didn't have time to go through the chair because he was going out the door. I said, Mr. Wheeler! I had to do it. I said, when you finish with your meeting, can you put my question to your ministers, please? But then everybody stood up and they started, you know, like, not rioting, but when I say rioting, what's the word when they become noisy?
It was like some commotion, I guess.
Yes, you know, people standing up. There was disorder. Yeah. So Mr. Burton said, Miss White, I take it, yes. The next week, the headlines of the paper, I'm going to see if I can get one, because Joyce Fraser's husband was an editor of The Voice. So I don't know if they have a collection with Black Heroes Foundation, which I'm affiliated with. It said, if you were born here, you no longer have to pay £50. And it wasn't because of my question. Because I was one of the people that was not, I wasn't one of the most intelligent people. And when I left, because then I made my quick exit, and an Asian gentleman came after me and he called me and he said, Miss White, he said, are you a barrister or a solicitor? Because to put what he started with and put it together so quickly, I said, no, I'm a nurse. I work at Central Middlesex Hospital. I live in the nurse's home. He said he would like me to come and sit on the Westminster, some kind of council. Well, I'd just left the police force. I didn't really want to be involved in anything. You know, I just wanted to chill and just do my little nursing, go to my little party. And then when I go to my party now, I found out that later on, that one of the parties that I go to, one of the blues on the Harrow Road, they called it the Graveyard Blues. So there's a graveyard next to it. And I found that that's where Mary Seacole was buried. Yeah. So there you go.
So that's really interesting. Tell me, what about Paul Boateng? I mean, what was he kind of doing? Was he literally just almost moderating the crowd?
Yeah, he was very good.
He didn't say anything.
No, his job as a chair was to keep things in order.
Right.
Which he did. Because, you know, when Mr. Wheeler, I run away. When am I run away? saying, my God, Parliament. Maybe there weren't no meeting. He just was making a quick escape because he didn't want to answer.
Mm.
Yeah, he wasn't expecting a question like that. That went on his template to answer. So that's when he said, order, order, order. And everybody just calmed down, you know.